Hello, this is Kenny Williamson, and welcome back to another episode of McKill's Deck Chronicles. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Bible and why people these days choose not to read it. So one of the first things that I came up with here is that it seems like most people just don't have the time to read the Bible. If you ask them, hey, you know, have you ever read the Bible or do you read the Bible? Do you read the scriptures? The answer will probably be, you know, I just don't have the time. Now, it's funny because most of those same people, they manage to find time for lots of other things, like not work-related, okay, not family-related. Most of the people that I know that don't have time to read the Bible, they seem to have lots of time for Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and other social media outlets out there. They have lots of time for that. And they also have lots of time for the TV. There's all kinds of sitcoms running these days and all kinds of stuff where people can go to Netflix and just binge watch continuously all these different shows that are out, and they've got season after season after season. I mean, you know, so I guess, you know, people don't have time to read the Bible ever, but, you know, they have plenty of time for Hollywood movies. I've noticed that lots of people seem to have plenty of time for magazines as well. I mean, I guess magazines are still a thing. I saw just the other day that the Cosmopolitan magazine has come up with a pretty good article that, you know, hit the headlines where they state that they have an article that has different steps for how you to have a satanic abortion ceremony. So that's big in the magazines, apparently. So they actually have a ceremony listed out that you can have, and it's a satanic ceremony if you have an abortion. So if you decide to have an abortion, you can literally sacrifice your baby to the devil. And, you know, hey, that's in magazines. So, I mean, I guess, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in these magazines, right? I mean, if you want to call that good stuff. So, I mean, if that's coming out on mainstream magazines, you know, a women's magazine, I can only imagine what's on these other different things that people are watching and spending lots of their time on. Makes you kind of wonder what's on there that's so interesting. So, in my humble opinion, if you have time to read these magazines and read all these blogs and all kinds of stuff and things that people write out on Facebook and all these other different social media platforms, if you have time to scroll through that for hours and hours and hours, surely you would have time to pick up the Bible and maybe read a few scriptures. You know, maybe read 1 John, read Revelation to kind of see what's going to happen in the future, your future. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. But, I mean, it seems to me that most people these days, when it comes to the Bible is a neglected book. Okay, it's not, a lot of people have Bibles, but, you know, they just never pick them up. They look at them, but they don't do anything with them. So, I just wonder here, if we were to look at John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, and possibly 21, I wonder if this will shed a little light on why people don't read the Bible anymore. Let's see here. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You think that may have anything to do with it? You pick up the Bible and start reading through it and, ooh, I'm not supposed to be doing those things. I have a feeling that's a pretty big part of it. As you know, if a person does something wrong, This is what the world says today. If you do something wrong, you know, you're supposed to feel bad about it, right? Well, feeling bad about it and thinking about that you did something wrong is called your conscience. So that's called a guilty conscience, because you did something you're not supposed to do. So if you read the Bible and you read what God expects you to do and what true values and morals are, you know, based on Scripture, then that begins to strengthen your conscience. Then when you start to do things you're not supposed to be doing, your conscience reminds you of that. Okay? So people today don't want a strong conscience. They want a weak conscience. Okay? They want a conscience so weak that you can do whatever you want to do, regardless of how the Bible lists it. Okay? If you want to run out and, you know, commit adultery, well, yeah, I'm sure you can come up with a really good reason on why you did it, you know, because your conscience is so weak. If you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, if you want to cuss like a sailor, well, you know, the person, you know, maybe the person you cussed out deserves it. And your conscience is so weak, your conscience will allow anything. And I'm sure you've heard people say that before. They're like, oh, I just do whatever my conscience tells me is right. And, you know, I'll do whatever it says is right, and I'll be okay. I'll make out all right. But the problem is no, you won't. You see, because you can't possibly have a good conscience, okay, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Basically, what I'm saying here, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you because you're not saved, your conscience is unreliable. Think about it. These people who are not saved, okay, these atheists and these evolutionists, they're not saved. And so they think, well, you know, I know what I need to do. Everybody kind of knows what's right and wrong, and I've got a good conscience. I've got a set of morals that I have decided for myself that I define, and so I'm going to be all right. It's good. Now, think about that for a second. Do you think that you can honestly rely on your conscience if you're not saved? You're not relying on what the Bible tells you. You're relying on your own moral conscience. I mean, isn't that what Hitler did? Wasn't he relying on what he thought was right or wrong? Do you think he lost sleep at night after murdering people? No. His conscience said it's okay. It's okay to murder those people because they're inferior, and that's what I want to do. I mean, can you actually go by other people's consciences like that and say it's whatever they want to do? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, how about Hunter Biden, you know, with all of his sex scandals and hookers and crack cocaine and his laptop and that whole business and all the stuff they're doing, breaking the law? I mean, how about his conscience? Is he got a good conscience, you know, because he thinks he's doing okay, he's just doing all right? You see what I mean? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to even think anything like that. And I can tell you what the Bible says about that, and we've seen people do this before. People who constantly do things, and everybody knows it's wrong, and they may have known it was wrong in the beginning, but you do it over and over, your conscience gets seared. And the Bible describes it as seared with a hot iron. And in 1 Timothy 4:2, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So what that means is you've done something wrong so many times, you get used to doing it, and now your conscience is seared, and it doesn't really seem like it's wrong anymore. Now it's just okay because you're used to doing it. So anyway, that was one on my list, is the Bible strengthens your conscience. So, you know, with a strengthened conscience, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't do anymore. Okay, let's move on to another thing here real quick that, you know, is one of the reasons people don't read the Bible. Well, I can tell you right now, it hurts their pride. I've seen this myself multiple times. Okay, so let's start off here with 1 John 2:16. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There you go, right there. If you start reading the Bible, it humbles you because you see that you shouldn't be doing this stuff of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that's the pride of life, you see. So I don't know of any other book in the world that can tear a person's pride down like the Bible does, okay? Because the Bible says you need to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So, you know, somebody that has a lot of pride, they don't want to hear that. Let's suppose for a second that you're one of these evolutionists out here. You know, how would you like to read the Bible where the Bible tells you that mankind is getting worse, the world is getting worse, and everything is getting worse, when you, in your deluded mind, think that everything's getting better? You believe that it's taken billions of years to come from nothing into something, something great, and we're getting better and better. We're evolving, according to the evolutionists. But the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says that we started off great, and now we're devolving. We're getting worse. We started out living 900 years, or 1,000 years, would have been indefinitely. But, you know, due to sin, cut us back to 900. Now what are we down to? 80, 90 years maximum for most? So, yeah, we're not getting better, we're getting worse. We are not only getting physically worse, we're getting morally and spiritually worse as well. So can you imagine an evolutionist, you know, if he was trying to read this Bible, how it's going to shock them, you know, these proud, rich people in their godless society claiming we came from monkeys, thinking everything is getting better, it's going to tear them to shreds. The Bible will literally tear them to shreds, and it's going to wound their pride. Okay, they don't want to hear that. And then you have all these, you know, rich celebrities and devil-worshipping, basically, Hollywood movie stars and all these others. See, they think they're up there really, really high because, you know, Hollywood promotes them, so that means they're something special. But in actuality, see, the Bible, see, it's a great leveler of all human nature. And the Bible puts everything down to a level where it's under God Almighty, okay? So, you know, proud people have never liked to read the Bible. And for an example here, for these evolutionists and these wackos that think everything's getting better, better and better and better, the Bible says here in Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So according to the lost world, the Bible isn't any good. It's a joke. And the words are worthless. According to the Bible, this heaven and earth is actually what's worthless and will pass away. It will be destroyed. But the words in this book, they will not pass away. So the Bible says exactly opposite of what the world is telling us now. And of course, there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, they're not going to read the Bible because it's full of nonsense. And I would have to say about a person like that is that they're full of nonsense. They're ignorant, okay? They're a fool. Because if you could do or would be willing to examine the scientific claims that have come out now, there's all kinds of scientific claims that back up the Bible. You could pretty easily be convinced that it's the Word of God, because everything that it says is accurate. You know, and they're finding proof of everything that it said over there in these other countries. They're digging up these cities. Everything that the Bible says is 100% correct. So do a little bit of research, and it becomes pretty obvious that the book is correct. It's true. Now, one of the other things that I've noticed that why people don't want to read the Bible, this is one of the biggies in my opinion, and the thing they don't like about it is that the Bible exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The Bible raises him up and puts him above every other name and puts him above every person and tells you that you will be judged someday for the deeds that you've done, okay? And it also says that every knee is going to bow, or every knee is going to bend, and every head is going to bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, he's the Lord of glory. And there's a lot of people, they cannot stand that. They do not want to give credit where credit is due. So, yeah, so the Bible elevates the name of Jesus above every other name, and that's why people don't want to read the Bible, or they don't want to take time to read the Bible, and they don't enjoy reading the Bible, you know, because it elevates the name of Jesus. It elevates his name above all these philosophers and all these so-called scientists and stuff we have today, and puts them way down here where they actually are. And, you know, that, again, that hurts a lot of these guys' pride. They do not want to put Jesus Christ ahead of everything. They want to be the head of it. Of course, I have news for these guys that don't want to, you know, give credit where credit's due to Jesus Christ. And some of them claim that Jesus don't even live. He never was. He's just a fake. You know, with the Bible here, I have news for you. The Bible says in Romans 14:11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So, you know, you can go ahead and say all the stuff you want to say now and claim it's not real and do everything you want to do, but you are eventually going to bow and you are going to confess it. So that day could be coming sooner than you think. You know, I've noticed another reason, of course, people don't read the Bible is that, you know, the Bible disturbs their routine, their daily routine that they do, you know, that's godlessness, this godless routine in a godless age. You know, the Bible upsets people. It disturbs them. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be told that they're doing wrong. They don't want to be told that they need to put their clothes on or they need to stop sending messages to married men or women. You know, they don't want to be told anything like that. They want to do whatever they want to do. So you don't want to interject any scripture into that because that would interrupt their daily routine, you know, of taking selfies and posting them all over social media. The whole look at me and, you know, let me put that camera where you can see right down my shirt. That routine that so many people have these days, you don't really think anybody like that wants to read the Bible, do you? So yeah, these people, they don't want to read the Bible because it may upset them. The stuff that it says they're doing wrong is going to upset them, okay? But in my opinion, they need to be upset. Okay, and have you ever noticed that many of these people today, these people that are upset about everything, they're always upset about all the little everything stuff except the things that they ought to be upset about. Okay, so they're upset about the fake climate. They're upset about, inclusion and LGBTQ, you know, that's the kind of stuff they're upset about. And what color is this? And what color can you wear? And, you know, should you be allowed to use a litter box in the school because you are pretending you're a cat? And, you know, if you don't allow me to pretend I'm a furry animal, then you're somehow oppressing me. Okay, that's what they care about. You know, they're not upset about things like, oh, the government taking all your money, the government lying and cheating and stealing and killing people and giving you, you know, fake medicine for fake diseases that you don't have and people dying left and right from taking all kinds of stuff that they should not be taking, you know, but don't worry about anything like that. You know, don't worry about these wars and rumors of wars and giving billions of dollars to Ukraine and all. Don't you even think about that. That doesn't upset them. What upsets them, you know, is the rainbow flag, stuff like that. So the things they should be upset about, they're not upset about. And one thing for sure is they are not upset about, oh, anything the Bible has to say because they don't read it. Now, they will be one of these days. And of course, if you were to tell them what the Bible says about their actions, oh, they'd be upset then. You know, how dare you? Because again, they don't go by a godly conscience. They go by their own conscience, which is highly seared and highly erred. They don't like it because the Bible exposes sin. Lots of people don't like the Bible because it exposes sin, and they want to do their, like I said, their daily little routines, and they don't want their sin exposed. And that is something that I have noticed. I've observed this myself. Basically, it's a general rule that people who are the most concerned about racial and social issues, they seem to be the ones that are least concerned about their own individual sin. See, they're not concerned about what's going on in their own individual lives. So they don't, you know, they don't see any reason to correct anything that they're doing because they think they're just doing all right. They take a look at themselves and they just don't see anything. They don't see anything wrong. But, you know, that kind of reminds me of like a room, a dark room. You know, you go into your living room and it's dimly lit and it's clean. You're like, man, this is a nice, clean room. But, you know, you pull down the shade or you pull back the curtains. You lift the shade up a little bit and in comes the sunlight. And then all of a sudden where that shaft of light comes right through the shade, all of a sudden, you see the room is filled with millions of dust particles floating everywhere. So, is it as clean as you thought? Is the air in the room as clean as you thought it was? Well, when you shine a little light on it, then you see how clean it is. Okay? So, you know, it's kind of like your life. You know, it might look pretty good as long as you compare it to a dark room, but you know, you try a little bit of sunlight on it and shine light, like on your life, shine the light of the truth on there from the Word, then it doesn't look so good anymore. Another reason that people don't want to read the Bible is that the Bible demands obedience. The Bible demands obedience in its precepts. It, you know, demands obedience to Christ. It demands obedience to the Word of God. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can't read the Bible without coming away just a little bit better or a little bit worse than when you first picked it up. And that's why people don't want to read the Bible because, you know, they when they pick it up, they're either going to get a little better because they see they're doing wrong, or they're going to disbelieve it and say, I'm not going to change my sin. Of course, they don't think they're doing any sin. So they're going to throw it down and they may even get worse. Because they're going to say, I'm not doing it. So my advice to somebody would be to go ahead and throw caution to the wind and pick it up. Pick it up and do a little bit of reading. And find out, you know, what God has to say about, you know, healing. About what God has to say about sin. What God has to say about the current situation over there in Israel and what's going on and how all this different stuff has been talked about, it's been prophesied, it's been written down, it's in Revelation, it's in Ezekiel. They know what's going on over there. God's in full control. And, you know, I guess if you're surprised by what's going on over there, then you have no clue of what the Bible says. So don't take my word for it or any other man. Get the scripture open. Get you a King James Bible. Get it open and do a little bit of reading. Find out what God says about a few things. You know, you might be very interested to find out what God has to say about heaven and hell. For example, you know, what does God have to say about heaven, you know, and the new earth? Well, right here in Revelation 21:1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." You see? So I don't have a problem taking care of the earth, taking care of stuff and picking up your trash, but to try to claim that the climate is going to kill us and to try to claim that we need to do this and this to save the earth, guess what? God already has plans to destroy it, okay? So it's not going to be around that much longer. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say we're going to die in climate change, okay? Now, there is going to be some climate change whenever stuff starts getting burned up, but there's nothing you can do about it, okay? It's God's judgment. So there's no amount of trying to drive around an electric car is going to keep this from happening, you see? So that's why I say get your head out, okay, of some of the fake stuff out there and put it in the Word, and you're going to find out real soon that all this stuff that the world and the government's trying to push on you is a bunch of nonsense. It's just a bunch of hoopla. Now, this is one here I think everybody should read about hell. It's in Luke 12:5, and it says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So basically what he was saying here, that was Jesus talking. These guys were scared of dying. Okay, but these guys were saved, so they're going to die and they're going to go to heaven anyway. So he's telling you, don't fear somebody that can kill your body when you're going to go to heaven. You need to fear the one that after you're killed has the power to send you to hell. And that's Jesus. Okay, that's God. That's our Lord. So you can be sent to hell by him. So he's the one you need to fear. Okay. So that's why obviously you should get saved, because if you're not, you will be cast into hell eventually. So the moral of this story is get you a Bible, get you a King James Bible if you don't have one, and read it. Start reading. If I were you, I would start off in maybe, John, read 1 John, or read John and 1 John, read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and read Revelation, and you will come away with a lot of knowledge that you probably won't get many other places, because a lot of the preachers and stuff I've heard, they just water it down. They don't even want to talk about heaven and hell. In fact, I saw one here the other day that was something that was, I think, posted on TikTok originally, but these people, this street preacher was out there telling these people about heaven and stuff, and so a girl comes up and asks about hell, and he says, "Oh, no, there is no hell. It's the same thing Billy Graham tried to teach," okay? False teaching is, hell is only separation from God. That's all. Just, and this girl is like, "You mean it's not like Dante's Inferno?" "Oh, no. It's just separation from God." So, in other words, when you go to hell, it just means you won't have God there to talk to, basically. That's what they're teaching. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are going to burn in hell for eternity. It says that hell is going to be eventually cast into the lake of fire. Okay? That you are going to be judged for your deeds, and you will stand and you will bow before Christ, and you will be judged. And if you have not accepted his free gift of salvation, you will be thrown into hell, where the flame is eternal. Eternal fires that never go out. And hell is actually reserved for the devil and his angels. So you're going to be going to a place reserved for the devil and his angels, okay, which the worm dieth not. It's from ever, from now on, eternal. That's what the Bible teaches. So if somebody says, "Oh, no, there's really nothing like that. You're just separated from God." These people are like, "Oh, okay. Well, that don't sound too bad. I mean, I don't necessarily need to be in heaven. I mean, I'll be some other place. God won't be there, but I'll just get to do whatever I want." That's what these lunatics are telling people. So they're not scared of going to hell, and they're not worried about going to heaven, because they're thinking, "Well, hell don't sound that bad." So I would advise you to pick you up the Bible, the King James Bible, start doing some reading, and see what it has to say for yourself. I think you're going to be surprised if you don't already know, and if you do already know, then you're going to be comforted, because once you're saved, you've got the comfort of, hey, you could die at any moment, and you're going to go straight to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you got your bases covered. So there's nothing to fear. So anyway, I thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I just ask that you like it, share it, whatever, on these different things. Leave a review. If you have any questions or comments or anything like that, give us an email at truthseekers2012@gmail.com. and let us know what you think, or ask any questions and we can answer them, try to answer them, you know, on a podcast. If you know somebody that wants to be in a podcast that has some interesting information or anything like that they want to share, send them my email, send them my way. So once again, this is Kenny Williamson. This is McKill's Deck Chronicles. Thanks for listening. I hope that this helped you in some way. And, you know, God bless you.